Our hearts are always overjoyed. And we see men and women fully dedicate their lives to you. Thankful for the baptism. We thank you for the faithfulness of the parents and the teachers that have seen to it that these young people proceed on in their Christian growth. And now, Lord, we have waited all week to hear from you. Speak to us. Let us worship you. We thank you for what's going to happen. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Excuse me for just a moment. Yeah, this is the section I want. What are you doing? I'm looking for a job. Just to want ads. I wonder what's on the job market. Really, my interview skills are real rusty. I haven't had that many interviews. I interviewed years ago for a job at Oakwood College when I was a student, and then when I went to Andrews, I interviewed for a job there. And then when I went into the Navy, I interviewed to get into the Navy. And then the only other interviews I had was with Poway and Valley Center and then Fallbrook. So my skills are weak. So I went to try to find out what I could do to help me get a job. And I found some very interesting, helpful comments. See, there's a job fair going on at Town and Country Resort October the 6th here in San Diego. That's true. And they said that they wanted me to wear business attire and then to bring 20 copies of my resume. That's a lot of copies. And also, they helpful hints. Whenever you take an interview, you know something they always ask you in the interview process? Tell me something about yourself. And the advice said that you should have a 30-second commercial ready. Did you get that? 30 seconds, not 30 minutes. And also, the information as I was looking for a job says that first impressions are very important. When I served with the Marine Corps, they size you up pretty quick. Isn't that right, Dexter? Look at that uniform. They read your ribbons, make sure they're clean and they're straight. And they size you up. Well, research says that decisions are made or impressions are made within 27 seconds. That's pretty quick. And then the advice said that what we wear is very important. If I'm too formal, then I appear to be rigid or stuffy. And then if I'm too casual, then it appears as if I am not really interested in the job. So what I wear is very important as I go to interview. And then it says, make sure that you're clean. Bathe with good quality bath soap. I'm good to go. All right. Do not wear perfume or cologne. Because the person that's doing the interviewing might be allergic to what you're wearing. And then cover any tattoos. I don't have to worry about that. Amen. In fact, my color itself would probably just hide that. Avoid any gaudy jewelry, no nose or tongue jewelry. I don't have to worry about that. Wear a tie. I got a tie. And your shoes should be leather. What do you think? Huh? Is that all right? My shoes are leather. They like black, too, preferably. And your nails should be trimmed and clean. Well, pretty good. Pretty good. I think I'm ready. Oh, in fact, I got a job. If you turn to the Gospel of St. John, 4th chapter, there's a job out there. In fact, God is looking for people. Let me bring you up to speed on John chapter 4 while you're turning there. Jesus has an encounter with a woman. He's on his way to Galilee in the Jerusalem area. And he travels the direct route. He goes through Samaria. Now, Jews typically do not like to go through Samaria because of the tension between the two people. But Jesus doesn't worry about that. He journeyed right through the straight route, right to Samaria, through Samaria, and he encounters a woman. In fact, the disciples have gone on to get some food, and they are not with Jesus at the time. Jesus is thirsty, and he goes to a well, and he sees a woman at the well. And the Bible says in John chapter 4 that he asks the woman for a drink of water. And the woman says to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a Samaritan for water?" This is what Jesus replied. "If you knew who you asked for water, you would ask him and he would give you living water, and you would never thirst again." What a passage that is. Let me bring you up to speed now on this end of the story. Verse 19 of John chapter 4. Verse 19. And after that, Jesus kind of dialogues with the woman and tells the woman all about her past. She's amazed that Jesus knows so much about her. And this is what she has to say. Verse 19. "The woman said to her, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a," what everybody? "A prophet. Our fathers worshipped on the mountain," she says, "and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will," do what everybody? "Worship the Father in" what? "In spirit and truth. For the Father," here it is. Here is the divine search. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." The Lord is seeking for worshipers. I don't have to look any further for a job. God is looking for worshipers. Do you think Jesus just showed up at the well by accident or by chance? He was seeking worshipers. George and Benny, welcome back. I'm sorry, I just thought about you guys on all the way in the other side of the world. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for a safe passage. Welcome back. Could it be that Jesus was on a divine search? Search for worshipers. Seeking. Bible. Worshipers. True worshipers. We have been talking about worship. We said that Jesus worshiped regularly. I'd like to welcome our listeners who will be downloading the tape and let you know how much I appreciate you coming and joining in with Fallbrook. We have been talking about that Jesus worshiped regularly according to Luke 4 and verse 16. And then when we come to worship, we come to fellowship, we come to give, and we come to celebrate. Can you say amen? Not only that, when we come to worship, we bring our very best. Nothing but the best for God. We come to worship. You may not believe this, but the Bible says that there's coming a time when worship is going to bring us trouble. It's not here yet, but it's coming. So today we're going to spend just a moment talking about the divine search. Since these are the last days, God is out there seeking, searching for people to worship Him. I'd like to welcome my son-in-law. Where are you at, Danny? Are you in here? And I know my granddaughter. They're all the way from Okinawa. I did not want to exclude them. They're here somewhere. Okay, they're in the back there. Okay, I'd like to welcome them here from so far away. But God is seeking worshipers. What does it mean to worship? The word comes from the word worship. To worship God is to ascribe the proper worth to God, to magnify His worthiness, and to approach and address God as He is worthy. Let me have you turn to one other passage. Revelation chapter 4. What book did I say, everybody? Revelation chapter 4. I want you to turn there and look at verses 9 through 11. I want you to see this. You don't want to miss this. This is very, very important. Revelation chapter 4 and verses 9 through 11. And I'm going to read it while you're turning there. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, guess what happens? The Bible says the 24 elders do what? Fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they do what? They worship Him. They worship Him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, and then they keep quiet. Come on, I will see if you're awake. This is what the Bible says happens. They say, "You are worthy, O God, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created just a few things." Thank you. Yeah, that's right. Stay with me. "And by Your will they exist and were created." Can you say hallelujah? Oh, that's why we serve Him. What a God we serve. He is worthy. Most people, most churches, most faith groups worship on three levels: the level of theology, ethics, and aesthetics or beauty. And they're all important. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we tend to emphasize two of the three. We emphasize the ethical or the ethics, which is very, very important, or we emphasize the beauty. And that's very, very important. But be careful. If I might have asked for us to have a note of caution, is that sometimes we get stuck in the ethical part or the legal part or the doing what's right part. And if we're not careful, if we get too much of that, we find ourselves into legalism. Oh, help me. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. So you have to be careful. That's why every sermon is not about how all the bad stuff you're doing. Is that all right? You can't have all of the dose of that. So we don't want to ever just be on to doing, you ought to do this, and you ought to, and you're not doing this right. You don't want to spend all of our time doing that. Isn't that right? You know what I like about our church is that we operate in an area that's becoming lost. And that's the biblical theology. You know what binds us together? Someone said that, in fact, Tony Campolo said this. He said, the church, there's no fellowship on the earth that's crazier than the church. At its best, the church befriends people we would never get to meet within the sterile confines of our class structure society. In church, we are ushered in a loving relationship to people who we'd never, ever have a relationship with. We'd be strangers. So you know that. Some of us would never come together. Democrats, fellowship with Republicans. Help us, Lord. You know that's the Lord. Amen. Pacifists with military. You know that's the Lord. I like gospel music, and you like Bach. But I'm still your pastor. Amen. How in the world did this work out? How did this happen? It's the Word. The Bible. Isn't that the reason we're here? I wish that churches, not our church, but I wish churches would stop dividing on things that are not biblical. Help us, Lord. You know, some things are cultural. They're not biblical. We have made them biblical when they're not. You're never going to convince me to stop listening to black gospel music. Don't try. But we'll be together on the Sabbath. Amen? We'll agree on that. No question about it. So be careful. Let's not divide the church over some of those things that are cultural. Amen? We are here God is looking and seeking for worshipers, true worshipers. What kind of worshiper does he want? He wants worshipers that are eager. You want to be here. He wants worshipers that have an expectancy about worship. As a little boy, we would go to the Mummers Parade in Philadelphia. And oftentimes, if you did not get there early enough, you would be in the back of the crowd of people. So as a little kid, we would get up on our tiptoes so that we could see what was going on. We anticipated seeing the parade. It's a beautiful parade. When we come to church, we ought to come on our tiptoes, anticipating seeing what God has in store for us. We ought to be eager to get here. Amen? Ought to be ready. But as I was preparing this message, I was going one way in my mind, and God was going another. Because what I discovered in this passage was that God is doing the seeking. Tried to figure out, God, what's this all about? You're seeking worshipers. You know what I discovered? That when we enter these doors, whenever it is you come, either the first service or the second, God is already here. In fact, He's looking for you. The Sabbath that you're not here, God misses you. Because He seeks worshipers. He's looking for you. Don't disappoint Him. He's seeking out you as a worshiper. Let me read something from the Moffat translation from Isaiah 65. It says, ready was I to answer men who never asked me. Ready to be found by men who never asked me. Ready to be found by men who never sought me. I cried out, here I am, to folk who never called me. I answer, and while they speak, I hear. One writer says, Our expectancy, which we bring to the house of God, is met by a greater, His own. God wants to be here greater than you want to be here. We ought not disappoint Him. Amen. What's the true worshiper that God is looking for? The true worshiper must have the Holy Spirit. Amen. How could we exist as a people, as a church, if we did not have the Holy Spirit directing us? True worshiper stands on the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Your Word is truth. True worshiper stands on the truth, the Word of God. Amen? True worshiper has the Holy Spirit. The true worshiper stands on the Word of God, which is truth. And then the true worshiper delights themselves in the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse 4. Do you think it's, what's best? What's the reason for being? Is it best to be here based on duty or on joy? Yeah, come on, y'all don't believe that. Huh? Should you be here because of joy? Is that the way you feel when you come in? Amen. I'm glad you said yes. That's the reason you ought to be here. It's not a duty. And if that's all it is, you know you still have a ways to go. Amen. I don't care how old you are. If you're here for a duty, you're missing something. I can't wait to get here to speak to you. Amen. I can't wait. I've worked all week on the sermon. What if I worked all week on the sermon and nobody showed up? I feel so bad. Amen? It's a joy to be here. And the true worshiper focuses on the person and work of Jesus. Amen? And then finally, I'm glad I have another sermon. I can stop now, okay? After all of that has happened, let me show you this again. I'll go back to John 4. I want to show you that the end of that story in John 4. You saw it and I read it, but I want to read it again. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming. Did you see it? Did you hear that? Who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. If you've been coming to worship week after week, month after month, year after year, and have not responded to his call, then the divine search continues. God is looking for you. He's going through the congregation, through the Holy Spirit, and He's looking for you. When are you going to respond to Him? This is no game. When are you going to respond to Him? I'm going to give you a chance. I know the time is gone. Do not look at the clock. But I would be remiss if I did not give you an opportunity today, to respond to Him. If worship is doing anything, then you ought to respond to Him. If you've not given your heart to Jesus Christ, you ought to respond to Him. That's what the culmination of worship is all about, is us giving our hearts to Him. Amen. What a joy it is to serve Him, to know Him, to worship Him. He is worthy. A book I was reading on spiritual disciplines, Donald Whitman, Whitney. He talks about an experience that I had similar, but I'll talk about his experience rather than mine today. He talked about as a 10-year-old boy having a birthday party. And he invited all of his good friends. I mean, his parents prepared for that birthday party. They had all the good food, all of the latest things. He didn't say they had one of those things you jump up and down on, you know, that I think we're going to have here. You know, they just draw attention. But they had a good time. And his dad decided that he would take them to the ball game. It's a culmination to the party. He took all of his friends, got there in the ball stadium, and you know, they had a row all stretched out there for all of his friends. And he got there in the ballpark, and all of his friends said, "I'm going over here, and I'm going over here, and I'm going to see this person." All of his friends left him on his birthday, his party. I thought that was interesting. I was reading the book that I'm reading on spiritual disciplines. It's a deep book. And here this story is in the middle of that book. Now, that's significant. He remembered that as a 10-year-old. How all his friends left him at the most important day of his life. I wonder sometimes if we do not come to church and never think about God. Thinking about everything else. When we come to worship God, the first and the primary person that we need to focus on and remember is God Himself. I tell you, I have to admit, I made a lot of people that are not focusing. God's pretty secondary. If they don't get their pet announcement announced, they feel bad the rest of the service. Help us, Lord. Focus on God and watch what will happen. He'll change your life. And I'm going to close because I'm going to preach this next time. And when we really worship God, guess what happens? We respond in service. We don't mind doing for Him. And so when the nominating committee calls you up, you say yes. In fact, you say, "Give me another job. One's not enough." Is that how we respond? Y'all knew I was putting a plug in for the nominating committee. But that's what happens. We respond in service. And we don't mind being obedient. Amen? Because we're obedient because we love Him. That's why we're doing it. Let's pray. Our time is gone. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for worship. It's been a joy to be here. We've seen so many good things here today. Two young ladies being baptized. Thank You for that. Children's story. We've heard that. Our young people reading the scripture. And then God, You are here. You were here at the door when we came in. And many of us met You. Some of us didn't meet You there, but You're tugging on our heartstrings right now. While your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, if you've not made your decision for Christ, I'm going to ask you to do that right now. If you have made that, you don't have to raise your hand again. I'm not out to try and prove anything. Heaven takes notes on all of this. But if you haven't, and you know you need to, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you're not giving your heart for Jesus. And you want to say yes to Him for the very first time. Would you lift your hands and let heaven record that decision? See the hand? Anyone else? I see some hands in the back. We see some hands. I see your hand. Thank you. Now you need to let me know what that decision means to you. For some, that's a rededication. For some, it's a first-time decision and you want to be baptized. You let me know. You let Pastor Marafa know. And we will accommodate you as best we can. But we thank you that worship has done that. That it has transformed and made new Christians. Thank you for that. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. You're so good to us. How great thou art is the proper song for this service. Bless us now. Fulfill your purpose in us and save us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We'd like to just let you know as we